You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Roto Experts in the Morning with your hosts, Mike Blewett and George Kurtz. Now, here's Mike and George.
There's that sound. It's the sound of the start of the Roto Experts in the Morning, Saturday edition. I'm Mike Blewett. I'm here with Matt Motyka and George Kurtz. We're going to take you around the world of fantasy sports for the next 3 hours on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Thank you for joining us. A lot of news to get to, obviously. It's a typical Friday-Saturday duo here as we recap all the games from yesterday and preview the games that will happen today. Obviously, the NFL draft approaches us. We get a little bit closer there. We're going to talk about some stories there. I was traveling a little bit yesterday, on the road a lot, so I didn't get a chance to dive into some of the breaking news that occurred, but obviously, as I woke up this morning and had a chance to read a few things, we have another blow to fantasy baseball owners as Madison Bumgarner, for reasons only known to him, got into a dirt bike accident yesterday and is estimated to be out by some estimates 6 to 8 weeks. So, Matt, that's obviously a huge blow to anybody that would have taken him, and in the most unlikely of ways does it happen.
You could take the boy out of the country, but not the country out of the boy, I guess. This is pretty crazy. It's not like he got hurt on the mound. This guy's been the consummate investment over like the past 6 seasons. The guy gives you the innings, he gives you the ratios, and you know it's a major blow. It's a major blow to the Giants, the fantasy owners, and I don't know. It's going to be. It's going to be interesting to see how you fill that void, because I don't know if you can.
Yeah. So, George, I woke up this morning. I was feeling pretty bad about I went to bed feeling pretty bad about myself for this reason. As I mentioned a couple of weeks back, I had a shot in my draft. I was really debating, and I took all the time on the clock that I needed. And my full disclosure, my 9-year-old nephew is managing the team with me. I put that in air quotes. And we had a chance at Harper or Machado. I'm a Machado guy. I really like Machado. I just took him there. My nephew was really like, I really want Bryce Harper. If he was jumping over the moon for him, I would have let him pick him. So I was feeling pretty bad about myself because you obviously can't get Bryce Harper out at this point. You just can't get him out. Hits another home run last night. And then I woke up this morning, George, and I dove into the Bumgarner news a little bit. And as we are fickle fantasy experts and fantasy players, I was like, all right. Could be a lot worse than Machado hitting 200.
Yeah, I'm not really worried about Machado. We're less than 3 weeks into the season. I'm not going to panic about this. Yes, Harper looks like the MVP right now. He's going up, but he does this a lot in April. Let's talk about this in July. I don't think there's anything wrong with either pick. If I had Harper, obviously I'd be thrilled. If I had Machado, I'd be thrilled. And if Harper was struggling right now and Machado was still playing great, I'd be saying the same thing.
You're right.
You're going to have to wait it out. You know, why Machado's off to a slow start? Anyone's guess. Yeah, but like I said, I'm not worried about this. You want to blame the WBC for it? And as a letdown going through the regular season? Fine, whatever you want to do. But if I had Machado, and I don't own either one in any league, so I guess it's easier for me to say, but I'm not panicking. Don't own Bumgarner either, or Marte. So I guess it's been an okay week for me.
It's been a good week for you, George.
Yeah. So to your point about Harper, I saw a statistic last night. He's the fourth highest career OPS in April in baseball history. The three guys in front of him, Babe Ruth, Ted Williams, Barry Bonds.
Well, I mean, Harper is about 24 years old. He was obviously injured last year. That's what I took from it. And the first thing I looked for at spring training was I wanted to watch Bryce Harper. I wanted to see that shoulder was healthy. He was hitting the ball to all fields. In my mind, a healthy Bryce Harper is the NL MVP. In my biggest league, I had the 7th pick in one of those where Kershaw fell to me, and I took Harper. And one of my last drafts in Vegas,
You have the most ridiculous luck with this stuff this year. You got 2 number one picks, and you're picking 7, and you have a Kershaw-Harper decision to make, which was easy for you probably because you'd already taken Kershaw number one in another league, so you can diversify.
It was, but this is like my biggest money league, so this is probably my most important league.
Right.
So it wasn't an easy call, but I said, let me, I felt that, you know, health is the only hurdle. And just to make a, for instance, like last night's Met game, there was a ball hit down the right field line that I believe turned into a double for the Mets. And Harper in the past probably would have dove for that, and it and the wall is right there. And if he would have dove, that could have been really ugly and maybe like a shoulder injury into that wall. He held up, like he pulled up. He pulled up, and I even tweeted out. I was like, I'm kind of happy to see Harper pull up there because that could have really gotten ugly.
Yeah. George, he's on pace for 71 homers. His OPS is 1.385. He's hitting 407, I think, right now.
Something insane.
And I was watching a wrap up. It was Harold Reynolds. So the sideline reporter, post game reporter, asked Harper. So it's obvious you were hurt last year. She just said it pretty matter of factly, and he didn't answer the question, and he gave a very textbook answer about how his teammates, he's really happy that he's hitting well because it, his teammates are playing well and he's been able to play well. So he brushed it off. But Harold Reynolds even said after the fact, it's like, Bryce, it's okay to say it. You were hurt. And George, you've said it before. It's obvious that he was injured last season.
Yeah, I don't know why he won't admit it now. I understand why you don't admit it during the season. You know, you don't want teams to treat you differently because they know you can't swing the bat or you can't hit a certain pitch. I understand that, but that season's over. So why you can't admit it, I don't know why, because Washington Tola said that you aren't hurt, so you don't want to embarrass the organization. We all know everyone lies. Players lie, managers lie, teams lie, general managers lie, everybody lies. You know, so we understand that. Why you can't admit it now is beyond. We're just being stubborn about it now that we're all going to forget and all think that you're just a bad year. The shoulder's bothering. We know that. It's good to see he's past it. If we knew coming into the season that the shoulder was definitely healthy, he probably doesn't. What was his ADP, ninth overall? He probably doesn't go that low. You know, so that's just the breaks of the game. But it looks great. And it's good for the game that he's playing so well. You know, I think it's a good thing. Hey, he's a Yankee in 2 years.
yeah,
that is probably true.
yeah, the clock is ticking on that. We need to get Caprellian back and then get Harper together, and then the master plan will be in place, George.
Actually, I'm not so sure he is a Yankee in 2 years, though, because if you look at the Yankees, their strength is in the outfield. Yeah. If all these players hit, I mean, you already got Aaron Judge. He looks like a keeper. You got Clint Frazier, and you got Blake Rutherford, who looks like the real deal as well.
There's an opportunity to get Bryce Harper. Everybody else is fungible, George.
Maybe, but guess who else is a free agent? And at a position they do need.
Manny Machado?
Yeah.
There you go. And well, he's going to cost pretty close to as much money.
Yeah, but Chase Headley, based on this April, guy's going to Cooperstown.
You're right. Nope. Chase Headley's going to stop the Yankees getting Machado. Absolutely.
So you get the Bumgarner news. Bryce Harper can't make an out. Freddie Freeman can't make an out. I mean, Freddie Freeman's ADP was justified. He was a very high draft pick. I'm not going to suggest that we were missing something. He's obviously not going to continue at this pace, but it seems like he's pretty comfortable in that lineup. He's made a nice little transition to the new ballpark.
Well, yeah, and I think that new ballpark is going to play very well for him. I think it was last Friday they had Matt Kemp was on MLB Network, and they were getting ready to open up the new ballpark. And he was saying that he thinks this ballpark is really going to play well for hitters, especially right center, and he says he likes to hit the ball there as well. So a guy like Freddie Freeman should be taking full advantage of this. And like I said, wait and let's see when it gets warmer out, especially in Atlanta.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, the old stadium, not even Turner, was it? They called it the launching pad prior
Fulton
to
Fulton County.
Fulton County. Thank you, George. So, I mean, like you said, he has justified his ADP. And if you own Freddie Freeman, you're ecstatic.
Yeah, I don't know that there's much to add there, George, but Freddie Freeman is just on fire. He's another guy with seven homers early in the season. And, you know, it always is a curious thing to, because how can we ever predict that the new Yankee Stadium was going to be what it was, right? You angle the stadium a certain way, you build it a certain way, you make slight adjustments, and in this instance, it's a new town, a new ballpark altogether. And here you go. You never know exactly how these things can play out. But as Matt was just saying, it could play very well for Freddie Freeman long term.
I think that's just about any ballpark could play pretty well for Freddie Freeman. I think he is that good a player. Last year, coming into the season, we were worried about the wrist injuries. Right? He had multiple wrist injuries. So whenever you hear that, you automatically think, okay, he's not going to have the strength in his hands, not going to be able to whip the bat around, not going to have the power. He proved that wrong probably about 6 weeks into the season. When all of a sudden he started to hit, he was a monster, an absolute monster last year. And he's continued that. I think he's proving to the world that, okay, he may not be in the Harper Trout class, but he's one level down.
I tend to agree. I can't possibly call him underrated because I think fantasy experts understand just how good he is. But I just wonder to average fans if he's a guy that's is sort of under the radar because the Braves haven't been that good. I think more people will tend to learn how good he is. He's already been an all-star, all that kind of stuff. So I'm not declaring that he needs that much more credit. But I do think for a casual fan, Freddie Freeman is somewhat under the radar, Matt.
Well, I think after 2017, that casual fan will be cemented in Freddie Freeman and the player that he is. He just does pretty much everything well. And I think maybe some people had apprehensions about the batting average. Is he really a 300 hitter? Can he hit 30 home runs again? I think he's going to prove that in 2017.
Yeah. So we're going to go all around the baseball world today. Just wanted to highlight a couple of those stories. Joey Gallo's home run last night. My God, that was...
He's going to hit one out of that stadium.
Yeah, that was something else. And I encourage anybody that didn't see it and is listening to us as you've woken up and getting your day started, you need to go online and watch that home run. It just beat Carlos Gomez's home run for the longest projected home run of the season. And it just topped everybody in exit velocity on home
runs. I don't want to hear about these projected home runs, by the way.
Why?
So, you guys see the home run Aaron Judge hit the other night?
Yeah, yeah.
That almost left the stadium.
Yeah.
They called that 448.
Yeah, it looked way further than that to me.
You're telling me in old Yankee Stadium, this is back before, I'm not talking about the Mickey Mantle Yankee Stadium, Joe DiMaggio, I'm talking about in the 80s, that would have been a home run by 17 feet? Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Because Yankee Stadium's before 31 in center
That's
field.
Right.
That's a joke. I hate these projected stadiums. And by the way, if you want people to watch the home run derby, I don't care if Aaron Judge or Joey Gallo are all-stars or not, put them in the home run derby.
I totally agree
That'll make
you.
People watch.
Totally agree with you. Just get guys in there that are just grip it and rip it and try to hit it as hard as they can.
Yeah,
it'll
like Joey Gallo, Judge, Miguel Sano.
Yeah.
I mean, you put those guys in, you're going to get viewership.
Yeah, you just want to see bombs. And Gallo's home run, so it has the highest exit velocity, too. And it's the type of home run where the announcers just started laughing as soon as he hit it because there's nothing you can do about it. It was just, he almost hit it through the stadium. If it hit the back wall,
it didn't even look like he got all of it.
Yeah, it's a fair point. It's a fair point.
He's very Dave Kingman-esque.
Dave Kingman.
That's not really the best compliment, but I tend to agree.
Look at the guy's average. I mean, the guy's just not going to hit for average. I mean, we have to.
Strokes
you have to have that.
Times. Yeah.
You know, he's going to swing and miss, but I mean, he is fun to watch.
It's a little bit of throwback, but you know what? What's old is new again in a lot of ways. Strikeouts are up, and actually, we'll talk a little bit about how baseball is changing a little bit. I read a good article earlier this week, and some trends which are way too early to cement. In what 2017 will look like, because there's a long way to go to cement these stats, but some interesting trends that are happening in April we'll discuss, and we'll go around the world of baseball and talk. We'll try to figure out a plan by the end of this show for Bumgarner. I don't have one. I don't think Matt and George have one, but we'll put our heads together and try to figure something out. So I'm sorry if you own Bumgarner, but guy's riding a dirt bike. It's his own fault.
Well, if you took Irvin Santana late, as we discussed in the preseason, not a bad option.
There you go. Matt just patting himself on the back. The
How's Irvin that Santana Hendricks throw play working out for
That's
you?
That's not going too well, George. The decreased velocity is scaring the hell out of me. I'll be honest with you.
We'll critique Matt's draft strategies through the next 3 hours after this. So if you want to hit us up on Twitter this morning, go to Fantasy Sports Radio. That's at FNTSY Radio. I'm at Mike Blewett. George is at George Kurtz, and Matt is at CTM Baseball. Give us a call this morning at 844-843-6877. 1-800-919-3776. That's 84-FNTSY. We'll be back on the Roto Experts in the Morning after this. Saturday Night Fever stuff there. That's from our producer, Pete Considore. So, the Bumgarner thing. We'll just focus on it here for a second before we go around the world of sports and dive into some of those box scores from last night. Matt has a good stat for us, and I found a really good stat last night as I was watching MLB.com or MLB Network, I should say. There really is no plan, right, for Bumgarner. I mean, you don't replace somebody like that when you lose the first, second-round pick, wherever you drafted him. You don't really replace that. But you made a joke as you were going out about Irvin Santana. So what other kinds of guys are out there? You know, like Amir Garrett was a guy early in the season that people jumped on because he got a couple of solid starts out of him. You're really just – it's hoping against hope. And hope is not a plan, but you have to try for something. So, say you're in a shallower league, what are some other guys out there that you would really look to that have had good starts that could be out there?
And as you mentioned, I was making a joke. Look, I think Santana, he's pitching great right now. This level, I don't think he's going to sustain. I think he still will be good. But, I mean, you're hoping right now for guys that maybe you took later on in drafts, or guys maybe you just picked up, like I say, a Jason Vargas type, to be real and to be, or not even, just to be able to be better than expected, to sustain some of their new growth and hopefully be able for the next 2 months to keep you in it. I mean, I'm, as George mentioned, I'm concerned on like pitchers like Kyle Hendricks, who aren't flamethrowers but are losing a couple of miles an hour. So it's you know, with pitching, it's always so tricky. And the sad part here is he didn't get hurt on the mound. I mean, he got hurt on a dirt bike in some backwoods somewhere. So, I mean, you just got to hope you have some depth. You got to hope that you didn't just draft Bumgarner and say, well, I got a top stud. I'm going to wait, you know, six rounds to get my next pitcher. You know, it's all dependent upon, you know, league size. In a shallower league, you probably have better chances because you have more options out there. In a deeper league, you're praying one of these late guys or one of your recent pickups can perform.
Excuse me, George. We're going to go dive into your who's hot, who's not a little bit later in the show. But, you know, maybe in some leagues, Luis Severino is out there. It's like somebody like that is kind of who you're hoping for, lightning in a bottle.
Well, you said shallow leagues. I would think it's shallow leagues outside of New York. He's available in a lot of leagues.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, he was not someone who was expected to be. He didn't even win a starting job until the regular season, or at the end of spring training. Mm-hmm. That's when we knew he was going to be the fourth starter for the Yankees. Now, Severino is what he is. He's really a two-pitch pitcher, and that's the problem. He's got the good fastball, good start, throws hard. Can he develop that changeup to make it a consistent third pitch to keep batters off the hard stuff? If he can, he's dangerous. If he can't, then he's not. Right now, he's got a 27-2 strikeout to walk ratio, which is fantastic. I know you look at his final line the other night against the White Sox, it looks like he got beat up. Well, what defense hurt him there? Better defense, that line looks a lot better. Right now, Severino is worth the pickup. The question is, like I said, can he develop that third pitch? If he can, he can be a consistent, good SP3, SP4 in fantasy. But if he can't, then he's going to get beat up by better hitting teams who can just wait for him to throw that fastball.
The only thing I would suggest to some people, too, and this isn't going to work for you, for those of you that are in experts leagues and learn to be patient, but I'll give you an example in my league that I'm in. Excuse me. Somebody panicked with Tanaka like 10 days ago in my league and dropped him. And it's a stupid move. Long term, you have to figure what Tanaka's numbers are going to be and be patient with it. I would suggest to everybody, look, I'm in a league where I'm in a home league in football where there's a lot of good players, and it's a keeper league. And I had a really rough year. But you know what? During the year, guys got so frustrated with Golden Tate and Julian Edelman that they released them. And I ended up with my team was horrible at one point because of injuries. I ended up with Golden Tate and Julian Edelman because people just got whimsical about it. somebody gets whimsical about Carlos Martinez or somebody else out there who's not off to a good start, just be prepared. Like, look at that waiver wire every day. You know, Matt, in your 15-team NFBC leagues, these types of things aren't happening. But I'm suggesting in some of your home leagues, people panic.
Yeah, but you say that, and it just goes... Even in high stakes, there are people that make stupid moves as well. I had last weekend, I pretty much blew the majority of my fab. Two players became available, Ender Inciarte and Joe Ross. Now, why the hell you would cut Ender Inciarte is like beyond
me. Yeah, I don't get that.
And Joe Ross was only down in the minors because they really didn't need a fifth starter, and they made a procedural error. So that's, I believe, why Jeremy Guthrie got that start and got rocked.
Got it.
So my look at Joe Ross was, this is a guy who, if he gives me 25 starts, is going to be pitching in the National League East on one of the better teams in the National League. So I really wanted Joe Ross. He's had major league experience. The Nationals need him. I bid over 40% of my fab on him. I honestly overbid. I think the next highest bid was like 150, 175 or something. I thought it would be anywhere from 25 to 35%. But my point was, I didn't see a guy coming in that's already established. Like, he's got the experience. It's not like a Brett Honeywell who's going to come up, who people will be excited about and should be, but who's going to be on a pitch count, has never pitched in the major leagues, still very young.
Can't get used to September.
That's why I made that move. But just to make the point, even in high stakes, people make idiotic moves too. So you got to, but you have to seize on these opportunities. When these opportunities come, you have to seize. And it's like a pitcher that pitches a good game, like a Jason Vargas. I overbid on him this past weekend. Is he going to be this good? Probably not. But I think he can be better than he's been in the past. It looks like he's made some things. The changeup is getting a higher rate of swing and misses. It seems like he's doing a little something different with right-handed batters. And this is a guy that's always had control and has a good park. So you don't have time to wait in a lot of sort. Even in shallower leagues, if you see a guy strike out like 10 batters or more in a game, and you're in a daily pickup, you should probably just grab that guy just to see what happens. I'm not saying you got to start him. Mm-hmm. But those that say, oh, you got to wait, see the sample size, you wait, you're going to miss out.
Yeah. George, is particularly in the leagues that Matt is talking about with fab budgets, it's going to be a little bit of a gamble. You're going to have to take a shot at some point, yes?
Fab is always hard. Once again, I answer a majority of the questions in the RotoExperts email answer queue, and you get so many questions like, well, what percentage of my fab should I bid on such and such? You know, like Matt said, Justin Vargas when he came up, whatever player it might be. It's an impossible question to answer because I don't know your league. I don't know how aggressive your league is. So, yes, your league may be aggressive where you have to take a chance and bid more than you want. Matt said he bid how much he had to bid for Joe Ross when the next bid was 175. You just never know what the rest of your owners are thinking about. You just maybe your league's not aggressive. Maybe people hit like sleeping at the wheel. They're not watching the fab. Maybe other teams don't need a pitcher. And you get someone like Joe Ross or, in this case, Vargas this week for cheaper. You know, it's a very difficult question to answer. That's why you have to pay attention to your league. You have to know your owners and to know have it. Pretty good idea of how much they'll bid. And you also need to know, hey, maybe you're the only person who needed a pitcher that week. So, you know, yes, there'll be some bids for Ross, but there'll be speculative bids. Guys trying to get them for cheap, you know, and we don't have to spend 40% of your budget, 25% of your budget. You know, but in the end, fab is it's what makes fab great. It's another piece of strategy. It's another guessing game.
Yeah, I concur. I prefer fab as well in those leagues where you just got a rolling waiver wire, you know. The guy that's constantly hanging out on it is going to poach up more players than you. It's just the way it rolls. But fab brings an extra level of strategy. As George said, it's a moving target as to what you can bid. But I think, Matt, your overall point is that you're going to have to be aggressive in order to try to make a replacement like that. And you should have an expectation that you could be wrong, but you're going to have to take the chance to be wrong.
Well, especially at this time, the first month, the first 2-3 weeks of the season, there's a lot of pitchers out there that are pretty much charlatans that are looking good after a couple of starts.
You're saying Mike Leake?
Well, you know
isn't as good as he looks.
Mike Leake isn't as good as he looks. But if your expectations are reasonable for Mike Leake, then he's a guy that you know you could add because he's going to give you the innings. He should be better than last year. I mean, a guy like we were talking. You mentioned Luis Severino. I've been on Twitter stating before his last start. And his ERA is still very high, so he might be out there in shallow leagues outside of New York, like a Robert Gsellman. The first couple of starts, The movement was there on the pitches. The pitches looked good. He had no command. He had zero command. He was trying to execute, like, pitches when he felt, when he was falling behind in the count, that, you know, were difficult pitches to execute, number one, and he couldn't command them. And you've seen in the last start, you've seen the improvement. I mean, the ground balls were like 10 to 1. He got 7 strikeouts. I know out of the first 6, after the first one he got swinging, the next 5 were all looking. So this is a guy that is getting 50% ground balls. He's got a 25% strikeout rate. We liked what we saw of him. It looks real. So he's a guy in a shallow league, say outside of New York. If he's available, you have to go get him. But don't be surprised if some of these pitchers who got off to a hot start that were waiver wire pickups don't turn out to be good, because that's going to happen.
Yeah, and George, so Matt's talking about Joe Ross. And here's another thing I'll say. You could be aggressive with Joe Ross now. What if he gives you 8 good starts and it starts to go south? You go out and get somebody else for another 8 starts. Maybe somebody else plays better during the... You have to piece it together at the time. Now, in a really deep league, Joe Ross is going to be somebody that you're going to roster for the rest of the season, and you're going to hope that he continues solid play. But, George, sometimes these things are temporary fixes. And you know what? You go out and you get another temporary fix after Memorial Day, and then maybe you're going to have to get another one when there's call-ups, whatever it might be. You have to try to piece it together and improve the team, tweak the team as much as you can at the time. Not every waiver wire move you make is going to be gold from here till the end of the season.
Agreed. I mean, that's what you have to do in baseball. You know, I like to say, you know, when it comes to a draft generally won't win a league for you. It could lose a few if you're terrible, but it won't win a league for you. It's the moves you make during the season and staying healthy. You know, health you can't control. Unless you drafted a whole bunch of players that we don't get hurt every season. You know, but if you got Bumgarner in round 2, or you drafted Sterling Marte in round 3, yeah, you're screwed. Good luck. You know, you're behind the 8-ball already, and it's probably not going to work out too well for you. So those injuries are, you know, your second and third round picks, and they're out too long. You know, so that's going to be very difficult to survive on, But it's the moves you make during the season. And you're right, Mike. You may have to go out and keep tinkering with your team. I don't think Joe Ross is a good example. I think Joe Ross is a mainstay for your fantasy team. But someone like a Vargas, you get him this week, he may be good for you for 3-4 starts, and then you got to move on again and get the next guy. Keep playing that game. Baseball is not really no fantasy sport. It's a sport where you just draft it and leave it. You know, you want that type of league, then play in that type of league. Most things are not that way. You have to keep tinkering your team, keep making moves. Sometimes, you know, we see guys in leagues who make hundreds of moves. Mm-hmm. That's all they're doing. They're streaming everybody. Pitchers, middle infield, everybody. That's all they do is stream. Some people are like that. Some people are not. But generally, you need to be somewhat active. You can't just draft it and leave it and forget about it. It's not going to work out for you, not unless you're very lucky.
Yeah, I'm in a shallower league, and hell, the entire Cardinal staff is on here. Michael Wacha, Mike Leake, Adam Wainwright, Luis Severino. I've been trying to pick up Severino, but I have to cut somebody. I got Zach Britton on my DL spot. And I can't pick up another pitcher right now. I would like to get Severino in there just to, you know, bolster some K numbers for now, because those are a little bit lower. But I can't do it. I'm trying to figure out a way to do it. But I don't want to cut Matt Moore. I don't want to cut some of the other guys that I have, because my staff overall is pretty good. But, you know, to our point, look, we haven't come up with a magic bullet for Bumgarner, but we're trying to give you some strategies, trying to get you to help you to at least piece it together. We've given you some names. There might be some better names out there on your individual waiver wire, or frankly, worse names on your individual waiver wire. We can't predict each and every, but if you have Bumgarner on your squad and you want to give us a call, feel free, 844-843-6879, or hit us up on Twitter at FNTSY Radio. In addition to that, you go to rotoexperts.com, because we'll be writing that up, and I'm sure somebody's already on the Bumgarner news and trying to figure out some strategies. You got George's Who's Hot, Who's Not article, which you, buddy, you have the Midas touch, because you put Jose Bautista on there. And
got Bautista back for you.
Thank you. I needed that. Bautista is killing me right now. But in any event, you should go to rotoexperts.com. We will talk about George's article a little bit later this morning. And go to rotoexperts.com to get the exclusive Edge in-season fantasy baseball package. It's your ultimate bench coach for the 2017 season, so stay ahead of the pack with our in-depth statistical breakdowns, trend analysis, and player insights. Become a waiver wizard and learn how to scan the numbers like a roto scientist. We help you set the ideal lineups every week, even without Bumgarner. And this season, you get a built-in fantasy training staff with our new injury advisor, powered by InsideInjuries.com. You can hear Dr. A right here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Get the RotoExperts.com exclusive edge in-season fantasy baseball package now and start soaring to the top of the standings. Enter promo code FREERADIO at checkout for a special discount. So, Mike, Matt, and George back after this. Back on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Going to go around the horn. Look at some games. We'll start with the Braves and Phillies, because you mentioned Ender and Ciarte, but we have I have a couple of stats I want to go over, too. We're going to bounce around the games. I'm not going East Coast, West Coast, because I was watching a West Coast look-in last night, and I have some thoughts on Matt Latos that we'll get to in a moment. But Ender and Ciarte, hitting a run scored, so there's your boy, Matt. He's delivering. I was only hitting 235, but that's not... You're playing the long game with Ender and Ciarte, yes?
Yes, and after the guy cut him that first week, he was available. Like, nobody had him that week. He cut him that Sunday night, and that week he hit like 3 home runs and stole a couple bases. So, and he was batting like, say, maybe 084. So he has steadily been improving. And I mean, look, the guy should give me average, give me runs, and stolen bases. That's what I want.
Yeah. Freddie Freeman hits the homer last night, so he gets another RBI. Brandon Phillips with another hit. He's hitting .323. Flowers Ofer. As we look at their... So the pitching matchup was Bartolo Colon versus Jeremy Hellickson, who's actually pitching really well.
Yeah, and real quick in this game, I'll give you my good, I'll give you my bad. I bet on Joaquin Benoit like maybe 2 fabs ago or whenever he was becoming the closer. Mm-hmm. And I won the bid by $1. Which is like I put the perfect bid, unfortunately, for me. Because I spent $313. I beat the guy out who had $312. But last night, I tweeted it out from the baseball app. Naris came in the ninth. He looks like he is now the closer. McCarron said in the ninth inning, I'll use Naris tonight. And Adonis Garcia was my favorite player of last night because... He was the first batter up and hit a home run, so hopefully Joaquin Benoit can still get some chances.
So Colon had kind of a rough outing. He gave up 11 hits. Typical Colon, he goes 7 innings, but he gave up 11 hits, 4 runs. He takes the loss. Hellickson does get the win. But George, to his point, he gets the save, but he does give up a homer while he's in there. So in your latest closer report... what did you have lined up for the Phillies?
Well, it was a strange situation in Philadelphia. You go back. Gomez struggled at the end of last season. He was good for a couple of months, but he struggled at the end of last season. We all know the Phillies' best reliever is Hector Neris. I don't think there's any doubt about that. For whatever reason, they went back to Gomez to start the season as the closer, and we all saw he failed miserably, and we all knew this was coming. This wasn't a shock. The surprise was that they went to Benoit next. Now, they did this for 2 reasons. One, to keep Neris's, he doesn't have saves. As you saw at Patantis, salary stays down when he hits arbitration. So that was one reason. Phillies know they're not winning this season. So they're not worried about putting the best player in the job. You know, losing a game or two here, a couple of blown saves, not a big deal. At least we didn't think it was a big deal to them. Now, you put Benoit in the save in the ninth inning role. He pitches well. Come the Dodge Live 31st trade deadline, that's a trade chip. It's not a major trade. It's not going to be an Andrew Miller trade or an Aroldis Chapman trade from last year, but it's a trade chip. More prospects coming your way. That's what they were hoping for. Well, Benoit struggled at it right out of the gate. Man, they reversed course quickly, which was surprising. Because if you believed in that, hey, winning doesn't really matter because we're not really going to compete this year, then what are you worried about? A couple of blown saves off the bat. You're going to throw away your plan already? So that was surprising. They went back to Neris. I think it's Neris's job. If you already put him back in, you might as well keep him there. You don't want to ruin his confidence or whatever it is. He is someone that could be there long term for when their rebuild is in full swing, which could be in about a year or two from now. So I think it is Neris's job to lose. That's the guy I wanted. I wanted no part of Benoit, even when he got the job. I didn't think he'd lose a job so quickly, but I didn't think he'd keep it long either. I think in most leagues, I wasn't that desperate for saves.
Yeah, no, I thought Benoit would have the job, to be honest with you, till, like you said, like probably the trade deadline or so. And so I was figuring on, I can get 3 months out of this. I mean, Philadelphia really wanted Neris to be the guy to start the season. I thought they would have had him in there. I thought it was maybe the smart play. You're delaying his arbitration clock because, you know, as we saw with the Yankees and Dylan Betances, if you don't have saves, you don't get paid. So that's why I took
the
shot.
And then the president of the team talks trash to you after he wins the arbitration hearing. Don't forget that small detail creating animosity in the clubhouse towards
moron.
It's just dumb.
Anyway. I don't get arbitration because I had seen it more with like hockey, with like the Rangers had done it in the past with some of their players, where you're basically tearing your player apart in the arbitration process. I mean, I guess you have to do it if you want to win the arbitration.
It's an idiotic system.
It's the nature of it.
And why would any player want to be there for it?
Yeah, I agree.
If I'm a player, I don't want – listen, let my agent deal with this. I don't want to hear it because, listen, I get it. The general manager has to tear you apart. It's idiotic. It's a stupid system, but I don't want to be there to hear this. Because either they love you. They absolutely love you. I love Matt Modica. I love everything else. But my job in arbitration is to tear Matt down. So I have to yell, I have to say everything I can think of negative about Matt. Whether I truly believe it or not, I have to. It's an idiotic system. But if I'm a player, I don't know why you attend these hearings.
Yeah, and Betances was there to hear all that. To those that don't know, Randy Levine, the Yankees president, he basically celebrated the win after the hearing, stating his case again. As George said, it's effectively a legal hearing. You're making a legal argument against your player. They love Betances. What would they possibly have to complain about the homegrown guy that throws a million miles an hour and racks up strikeouts all the time? Yeah, did they want him to be a closer? Maybe. Was he supposed to be a starter at one point? Sure, but he's a hugely valuable asset right now. They have to tear him apart, so they try to save a little bit of money. And one thing you can't do, obviously, as the president of the team, is celebrate the win after. Just take the win and go home. It isn't your job to do that.
Yeah, that was the height of being a jackass. I have to be honest. Like, why he just... I would have just moved on, you know, smiled sheepishly, said, okay, we won. A small golf clap to himself.
Yeah.
But, like, why take that public?
Yeah, so... in any event, moving on in this game, Cesar Hernandez is dominating. 324, goes 3-for-4 last night, 2 more runs scored. George, Cesar Hernandez adding to the depth at second base this season.
I don't know if I want to quite go that far. He's a nice middle infielder. He made a play last night. I think I tweeted it out. They were playing Matt Kemp. You know, he's playing on he's playing shortstop. And what I might say shortstop, I mean, on the grass. And he's at least 20 feet to the left of second base. And Matt Kemp hit a fly ball to right where regular second base would be. And he ran a court. I couldn't believe he got that far. Great range by Hernandez. It was a great play. Robbed Kemp of a hit in short right field. But Hernandez, once again, he was disappointing last year. I know I had him in the league, and I wanted to throw up because he didn't give you what I expected from him. This year, the power's not legit. I'm not going to expect that to maintain, but maybe he's going to come out to be a solid middle infielder. And as I keep saying over and over again, second base is really, really freaking deep.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I was saying it in jest because obviously I don't expect him to keep up these numbers, but he really is adding to the depth at the position. Second base, surprisingly deep. One last thought on that game, Matt. Jeremy Hellickson off to a really good start.
Yeah, Hellickson is off to a very good start. It was a guy that I got for free last year in many places. I don't own him this year. I wasn't sure if it could hold up. But he's really starting to prove me wrong. Cesar Hernandez is another guy who's starting to prove me wrong. I was not really going after Hernandez in any leagues. But, Jeremy Hellickson, you know, I really can't complain. You have to be ecstatic if you own him. Is he going to keep up this production? Obviously not. But is he going to be garbage? I don't think so.
Yeah, I don't know that he can command much in a fantasy trade market. So he'd be the type of guy you could bail on, but I don't think there's going to be too many huge believers. But you know what? There's a hole now in the starting rotation as guys are getting hurt. Maybe you get a little bit more value out of somebody like him than you otherwise would.
Yeah, but I think you said it best. There are people that just won't believe in Hellickson, and they'll just be waiting for it to... like I said, I think he is proving that he's better, but I don't think anybody's really buying, you know, Jeremy Hellickson.
Yeah, so, George, turning the page over to Red Sox, Orioles. Orioles get the win 2-0. Machado hits a bomb, 2-for-4. Still hitting 200, but, you know, as George said earlier, I'm not panicking on somebody like that. It's...
Feel free to trade me Machado.
Yeah, I'll take him all day. But, George, a guy that is looking pretty good thus far is Dylan Bundy. 3-1. He goes another 7 innings, 6 hits and a walk, no earned runs, 3 strikeouts, currently sporting 1.37 ERA. Your thoughts on Dylan Bundy right now?
Dylan Bundy, now last year was sort of the same thing here. Maybe he wasn't quite as good as he is pitching now, but he was good, and then he faltered at the end. And that's going to be his problem. Does he have the ability to stay healthy and make 30 starts? I have my doubts here. I don't know if that shoulder can hang on that long. But well, he's pitching well. Now you're starting him. Now it's no days a week in, week out starter. You want him in your lineup right now. He's a guy that's probably going to be screaming to be sell high. You know, while the going's good, get rid of him. This guy was a top prospect, and not only in Baltimore, in baseball overall, so he does have some name value there. There are going to be some people who do believe that he can – either way, he's going to be a Cy Young candidate here, and that's all fine and good. I'm not saying you need to sell high on him now. I don't see him falling apart anytime soon, but he's a guy I think I want to use. I really want to use how well he's pitching to my advantage here, and I want to deal him while the going's good. Maybe I want to talk to that Bumgarner owner. See, if they're panicking now, and they'll give me a top player because they feel like they need a starting pitcher to compete here. So I think that's a situation you might want to take advantage of there. And more news out of that game last night. Pedroia had to leave the game with a leg injury. We don't know how severe it is yet. Actually, he had a collision with the aforementioned Manny Machado.
I was going to bring that up. Machado, hard slide. John Farrell was not happy about it. It was kind of a rough slide, and Pedroia's got to leave the game. We'll see what that means for him long term, if it's just a little banged up from a hard slide or if he's actually injured. Did you see the play? Did you see the slide?
I did not see the slide. Yeah. I heard he got spiked.
He did. Brad Brack gets the save right now. He's filling the Zach Britton role. He's a waiver wire pickup in a lot of leagues just to pick up some saves short term.
Yeah, I mean, he's a talented relief pitcher too. I mean, he's shown over the last two seasons, especially last year. The K9 was very nice. So, I mean, I bid on Brad Brock the same I bid on Jason Grilley. I got him in one league. Somebody bid $411 in one of my leagues. That's pretty crazy.
Jeez.
But just real quick to get back to – I think George touched on a lot of good things with Dylan Bundy. I mean, Bundy's made 4 starts this year. They're all against Boston and Toronto. And, you know, in 3 out of the 4, he's allowed 1 run or less. He's pitched at least 6 innings. And is he I really do like Bundy, but George makes a good point. Is he a good sell-high guy? His K9 is under 7. While he is getting the swing and miss strikes, I mean, it's like just over 12%. So I think George puts an interesting thing out there where if you can get something really good for Bundy, I'm interested. Otherwise, I'm going to ride him out to see what he can do if healthy all season.
You might get a little bit more out of him than you can get out of Jeremy Hellickson, for example.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, see, that's the thing. Like, people, just on his pedigree and his name, that, you know, and Hellickson has pitched very well, but, you know, people aren't excited by that name. You know, that name is, people aren't going to buy him.
Yeah, Drew Pomeranz takes the loss, average outing, only gives up 2 runs, but he lasted 5 1/3, 5 hits, a couple of walks, 4 strikeouts, so nothing to write home about there, but didn't get shelled, if you consider that to be positive news. So we'll take a quick break here. We'll come back and talk about other games in MLB, get some thoughts on some other players out there that are off to hot and cold starts. Matt, Mike, and George back after this. Back in business on the Roto Experts in the Morning.
It's Batman.
Yeah, it's got like a little like Pulp Fiction-y Batman vibe. I'm with you on this one, George. And you can be with us all the time and listen to Batman tunes and fantasy breakdowns if you download the Fantasy Sports Radio app, and you can take the world's premier 24/7 Fantasy Sports Radio network with you wherever you go. Download the app now in the iTunes store or on Google Play and play now and listen for free anytime. On Google Play now and listen for free anytime, anywhere. You can hear Tony Cincotta on the treadmill, Benny Ricciardi in the car, or Greg Sussman on the subway, or just relax with the king on the couch, or Jake Seeley when you're jogging, or thus when you're eating your bagel on Saturday or Sunday morning as we lead into fantasy bagels and baseball with Tony Cincotta and Cha-Cha. We keep you updated and informed wherever you go. Get the Fantasy Sports Radio app, that's FNTSY, Sports Radio app, for free right now in the iTunes store or on Google Play and take the experts with you. Turning the page. By the way, I saw the slide, George. I didn't think it was an egregious play at all. The Machado into Pedroia slide. Did he have to spike him there at the end? No, but Machado basically held Pedroia up as he was going to fall, and I didn't think he was... I've seen far worse slides than that. I thought that one was relatively tame. And the managers are going to get mad, obviously. Their player leaves the game. But did you think it was an egregious play?
I mean, we're seeing this over and over again. Baseball has become such a little bit of a wuss thing. You can't do anything anymore.
Matt just said this during the break. It's so funny because Matt said this exact thing during the break.
I mean, you can't take a second baseman or a shortstop out anymore. I mean, that's your job. When you're running down there, try and take the player out. Let's make sure that double play doesn't get turned. But, you know, everybody gets upset now. There's any kind of contact. Any kind of contact. So it's frustrating. No, I didn't think it was all that bad.
Yeah, I mean, he slid, to those that didn't see it, he slid into the bag. His top leg comes up, and his spikes hit Pedroia in the back of the calf. He wasn't trying to turn two. He wasn't going to be able to do it. And the spike catches Pedroia on the calf, and I'm sure it hurt like hell, and he might be out for a day or two because he's going to be sore, but he didn't chase Utley, the guy.
I mean, I don't know what to say anymore. It's like the more we evolve, the smarter we get. In sports, it's contact. The guy slid hard into second base. That's what he's supposed to do.
I wasn't even that mad about the Utley slide.
Yeah, me too.
You're a Mets fan.
I'm a Mets fan. Look, it's the playoffs. You're trying to take that guy out. I mean, if it wasn't Buster Posey, we would have never had that rule at home plate, which I personally am not a fan of. If the ball's not there, you don't block home
plate. Look, when stars get hurt on plays, the rules are changed. It happened with Buster Posey. It happened with Terrell Owens in football, and it happened with Tom Brady in football. There are very specific rules that you can call the Brady rule. You can call the Owens rule. It's the horse collar tackle rule. Brady, you can't hit a quarterback below in the legs, and now you can't, you know, the home plate plays have totally changed because Buster Posey got hurt.
I mean, it was better off for second baseman when we had that neighborhood play where they were like right near the, that was better for them.
Well, now, that was idiotic.
Well, now you have replay.
I hated that.
You have replay, so they have to be on the base, and they have a better chance of getting a broken leg.
But so that's what they should, I don't, listen, I don't want to hear about the neighborhood play. That's the old, let's sit there with Questa. Now we have Questa. They had to throw strikes. Well, shouldn't you be throwing strikes? Isn't that the idea of a call strike? They've heard to actually be a strike. If you're out at second base, it's because you touched the base. The neighborhood play was a joke. Some of these players were 2 feet away from the bag, and they were calling him out. I don't care about that. You look at the slide from Machado yesterday. It's a baseball play. He wasn't even trying to hit Pedroia.
I know.
All right? So when his foot hit the bases, his foot came up. It's a baseball. It happens. Get over it. There's no reason. And I'm an old school guy. I'm the kind of blind guy that believes where if something dirty happens, you throw up a child the next day. You throw below his head, but you throw out. You make a statement there. I don't think this deserves that at all.
Me
this
neither.
Is a nothing play. It just happened to be that his foot, when he slid into the base, you can see his foot hit the top of the base and pops up a little bit. We're not talking his foot popped up to his waist. His foot popped up a little bit, caught him in the calf. It's not like he needs 18,000 stitches here, folks.
Pedroia is falling down. Pedroia is falling down, George, and Machado actually is able to get up and catch him to keep him from falling down because he knew he made a mistake.
Right.
I'm sure
it's
he's like, oh, geez, I hurt that guy by accident. Machado was not in any way making a dirty play. Listen, managers can get their team fired up whenever they want. The Red Sox aren't playing that well. They lost another game, so he can do whatever he wants to rally the troops. This isn't a situation where he's taking out the team captain. It just isn't that.
Sensitivity overload.
Listen, if you want to use it to scream and yell, go ahead. If that's what John Farrell is trying to do, then he knows it's a fine play, but let's rally the troops, get everybody going, hey, fight, 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 I'm fine with that. You got to do what you got to do. But if they truly believe this was dirty, then, I don't know what to tell you.
All right, let's talk about the freaking Yankees. You got 2 minutes to talk about the Yankees. Ellsbury, 3-for-4, he's hitting .333. Amazing. Starlin Castro, 2-for-5, .371. Amazing. Chase Headley goes 1-for-5, but he's still hitting .377. Austin Romine gets another hit. Yankees take the L, by the way, 6-3. The Starling Marte-less Pirates. Tyler Glasnow does not last to get the win. Looks like he threw a lot of pitches here in 4 2/3 innings. Sabathia kind of struggled through five. Not a lot of big numbers, but the Pirates, Freeze continues his hot start. 2 for 4 with a couple of RBIs, and Josh Harrison gets a couple of hits. But your thoughts on Freeze real quick.
I mean, ride Freeze out for the first month. I don't think he keeps it up. The guy can hit left-handed pitching. It's a good story early on. Somebody that can maybe fill in, say, in a deeper league if you had Adrian Beltre and you lost him for the first month. Not a guy I'm buying long-term here.
George, thoughts on Jacoby Ellsbury? We see something here that he can keep it together.
Well, he's running more. I think George Girardi has told Ellsbury and Gardner, enough of this crap when you guys get on first base and you do nothing else. You don't add anything else with the bat. Not that you're driving, hitting home runs, you're driving runs that you have to run. So I think that's what Girardi has told them. If not, Hicks is going to play. It's that simple. You know Judge is going to play. We'll put Hicks in there. And with Gardner batting, 192 right now, you have to wonder if it's time for him to be in some kind of platoon here where Hicks has to play more as it is. Because Hicks is swinging the bat well, is just as good a defender as Gardner. I might look for Hicks to get in there more often.
I'm completely fine with that, if that happens. I'm done with Brett Gardner. Sorry. He's used up his time with me. That's 1 hour down. We got 2 hours to go. We'll be back on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network after this. Mike, Matt, and George.